Hey everyone, welcome back. We all spend so much time online these days, and one of the biggest choices we make is which browser to use, right? And Firefox, they've had this long reputation as the privacy-focused alternative.
Yeah, for sure, like the good guy browser.
But recently there have been a few, some headlines and whispers about Mozilla, the organization behind Firefox, suggesting that maybe things aren't as clear-cut as they used to be. So today we're doing a deep dive into this. Is it still the good guy? We've got a detailed report here covering how Firefox is funded and what they do with our data, all the way up to March 26th, 2025, very recently.
Right, so we're not just going to repeat what's out there, but break it down. Like, what does this mean for you as someone who cares about privacy and wants to know if there are any like dangers in using Firefox now? We're going to try to do that without getting too technical too. We just want to lay it all out for you.
So first things first. How does Mozilla pay the bills? It's kind of a weird setup, right? They have this two-part structure. We've got the Mozilla Foundation, which is the nonprofit side, all about open source principles. And then there's the Mozilla Corporation, which is for-profit. They actually develop Firefox.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that any profits the corporation makes aren't going to shareholders or anything. They go back into the foundation to support this mission of a more open web, accessible to everyone. So the idea is this kind of creates a sustainable ecosystem.
But here's where things get a little tricky, right? Like, historically, a huge chunk of their money has come from, well, Google. In 2022, it was like a crazy 81%, which is around $110 million, out of their total $593 million income. And that's just to have Google as the default search engine in Firefox.
And that creates this fascinating conflict, right? You have this browser that prides itself on privacy, but it's mainly funded by a company that's all about collecting data, showing you targeted ads. And that company also happens to own Chrome, which is a direct competitor to Firefox.
It's like depending on your rival to stay afloat. That's got to be complicated, right? So I know Mozilla's been trying to do some things to diversify, like they have their VPN service, the premium version of Pocket, even showing sponsored content on that new tab page.
Exactly. Got to diversify to be stable and independent in the long run. And they've also tried getting individual users to donate, which is a more direct way to support Firefox if you really value it. But looking at the report, those donations were a pretty small part of their revenue back in 2021, like around $7 million. So that Google deal, still the big money maker.
And then, there's something else that might surprise people. Funding from USAA, the U.S. Agency for International Development, doesn't really scream privacy-focused browser, does it?
Not really, no. And this was reported by the Lunduke Journal and others in early 2025. It turns out Mozilla had been getting millions from USAA. The report says it was at least $2.2 million between 2020 and 2022. So yeah, a big chunk of money coming from a U.S. government agency.
And it wasn't just like general support. USAID funded specific projects too. One example is this Responsible Computing Challenge, which focused on ethics in computer science education, like in African universities. Sounds good on paper, right? Like promoting ethical tech.
It does, yeah. Supporting digital literacy, ethical tech development around the world, all good things. But, gotta zoom out a bit. USAID is a US government agency with its own foreign policy goals. So it's natural to wonder, could this funding influence what Mozilla does, their priorities? And the big question for you, the listener, could this funding push Mozilla in directions that don't actually benefit the browser itself?
Right. It's not just about teaching people to code. It's about the U.S. government being involved in shaping these digital initiatives.
Yeah.
And the report actually digs into some of the more controversial aspects of this USAID funding.
Yeah, things get complicated here. The report points to some documents from Mozilla and critical analyses suggesting USAID money went to stuff like social and political training, centering marginalized groups, and engaging race, gender, sexuality perspectives. And look, these initiatives might be worthwhile in their own right, but some people say Mozilla is basically diverting resources away from their main job, making Firefox the best, most private browser it can be. So the question for you is, should a browser developer even be focused on these things? Or should they put all their energy into making the browser itself better, more secure, more private?
And what's really important here is that as of late March 2025, Mozilla hasn't said anything publicly about these specific claims about USAID funding. That lack of response, especially after all these reports, is definitely something to think about.
It does make you wonder about transparency, what's really important to Mozilla. Okay, let's move on to another big thing for privacy, data collection. Firefox has built this reputation for being privacy first, you know, with features like enhanced tracking protection.
Which, to be fair, was a good thing. Blocks a lot of those creepy trackers that follow you around.
Definitely. And they have been more proactive about privacy than some of the big players historically. But there have been some questionable things in the past, you know, things that raise some eyebrows. Like, remember that anti-phishing feature in early versions of Firefox? The one that used Google's servers and send a cookie? Even back then, people were like, wait, you're relying on Google for a privacy feature.
And more recently, with things like Pocket and the sponsored content on the new tab page, there is some data collection going on, even if they say it's aggregated or de-identified. But for you, the user, it's important to understand that even aggregated data, where they look at lots of users together so you can't identify a single person, it still means they're collecting data on how you use the browser.
Important point, yeah. And the real controversy exploded in February 2025 when they updated their terms of use and privacy notice. This is where you got to pay attention. They used really broad language saying Mozilla has a, and I quote, non-exclusive, royalty-free, worldwide license to use information you upload or enter through Firefox, all to enhance user experience.
Yeah, that vague language makes anyone who cares about privacy nervous. And Brendan Eich, he co-founded Mozilla, right? And he's with Brave now. Well, he had a pretty strong take on this. He basically said, this could mean Mozilla wants to start making money from user data for things like AI or advertising. And his perspective matters a lot, given his history.
Absolutely. Now, Mozilla did say something about this. They said the update was just to clarify what they were already doing and that new AI features, like those local chatbots, don't send your data anywhere. But that vague language in the updated terms did damage some of the trust users had in Firefox. The bottom line is, even if Mozilla says their intentions are good, the way they worded it leaves the door open to maybe using your data in ways that could be bad for your privacy data line.
So we have these two big things, right? The funding from USAID and the changes in data collection. How are these connected? And what could it mean for people who use Firefox?
Okay, so let's think long term here. If a big chunk of Mozilla's funding, especially from USAID, is going to things that don't directly make Firefox better, it could mean they have less resources to actually develop and maintain the browser. And a weaker Firefox, struggling financially, might then be tempted to look at making money from your data to survive. This could mean even more changes to their data collection policies in the future, and that might not be good for privacy.
So basically, a weaker Mozilla might need to rely more on collecting and using our data, and we might not like how they use it.
Exactly. And while the report doesn't say USAID is directly telling Firefox what to do with data, the fact is a government agency with connections to foreign policy and even intelligence is giving them a lot of money. This raises another concern, maybe less obvious, but still important. Could there be pressure on Mozilla, maybe subtle pressure, to do things that align with certain national interests, things that might hurt user privacy in the long run? Could they be asked to, I don't know, put backdoors in the browser or share data for national security? Now, these are just hypothetical scenarios, but the fact that they're getting this funding does make you wonder.
Yeah, that uncertainty is what makes people nervous, especially if they chose Firefox specifically because they thought it was independent and wouldn't do things like that.
Right. And then there's that silence from Mozilla about the USAID funding. The report says that as of late March 2025, they still hadn't publicly addressed those concerns, even after weeks of reports online. And that's weird, right? Because they did respond to the backlash about the updated terms of use back in February 2025. They tried to explain things then, so why not now? It seems like the USAID issue is a lot more sensitive for them, and that's not a good look.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what's really going on, why they don't want to talk about it. Okay, let's zoom out again, big picture. What does all this mean for regular internet users if these trends keep going?
So Firefox has been losing users for a while now. They used to be a big player in the browser world, but now they're much smaller. If all these controversies make people trust them less, they're going to lose even more users. And for you, that means less competition, fewer choices. And when there's less competition, there's less innovation, fewer privacy-focused options.
So Firefox losing users isn't just bad for Mozilla. It's bad for all of us who want options, who care about how we browse the web.
Absolutely. And the report also talks about the bigger picture, you know, the challenges that open source projects like Firefox face. They often rely on funding from corporations and governments, and that's not always stable. It can lead to conflicts of interest that users don't even know about. The worry is if Mozilla can't find a way to make money that's sustainable and truly independent, they might not be able to keep Firefox as a genuinely privacy-respecting alternative, and that would be a huge loss for everyone who wants to control their data and their browsing experience.
Okay, let's recap the main points. We talk about Mozilla getting most of their funding from Google, their competitor. Then there's the USAID funding, which is kind of controversial, and we wondered if that money is actually being used to make the browser better. And of course, there are those changes to their data collection policies, which have made a lot of people worried about their privacy. So basically, all these things together make us question whether Firefox is really independent and if they're truly committed to user privacy anymore. And for you, the listener, the potential danger is that your favorite privacy-focused browser might not be as private as you thought, and that's because of these conflicting interests.
Exactly. So for you, the listener, you care about being informed, right? You want to make good choices about your security and privacy online. These are all things you got to consider. After this deep dive, do you feel differently about Firefox? Are you looking at it with a more critical eye now, knowing about these potential downsides?
And that brings us to our final thought for today. In a digital world where a few big players have so much power, how can truly independent and privacy-focused tech survive? How can they get the support they need and stay strong against the influence of big corporations and governments? And what about us, the users? What can we do to make sure the internet we want, the one that respects our privacy and gives us real choices, can actually exist in the future? It's something to think about the next time you're online. Thanks for joining us.
See you next time.
Take care.